Steve. We're going to be Matthew chapter 6. I read just a couple of verses here in a few minutes. But I kind of want to share with you maybe a little bit of the background of this message. I want to talk to you today about what I call the neglected spiritual discipline. The neglected spiritual discipline, and that's this idea of fasting. See, we're quickly nearing the end of our church fiscal year. And God's placed a burden on my heart. I guess I would say even a conviction of the need to spend more time in prayer, both individually and corporately as a church. Just a couple of months ago, back in November, we hosted what we called the Prayer Warrior Boot Camp, and we emphasized the importance of and the power of prayer. And I can't seem to get away from the impression that God really wants us to make this our focus. I shared last Sunday in our board meeting this idea. We didn't do a lot of actual business in the board meeting last week. We talked about prayer. We talked about the needs of the church. We talked about the future of our church and where, you know, what we need to do. And kind of the conclusion we came to was, here's my thing. We can sit in board meetings for hours. And we can just kind of come up with ideas that are our own. And we can kind of come up with things that, you know, that old adage, you throw something against the wall and just kind of see what sticks. Or we can truly seek the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit. See, we can't manufacture anything. I can't make anything happen. All of us together can't actually force or make anything happen. We can't force new people to come to church. I mean, I guess we could if we did like a guy that I heard about years ago when a pastor encouraged someone, go out and get someone and bring them to church. Well, they had a guy in the church that he was a very new Christian, let's just say that. He was a very new Christian, and he took what the pastor said very literally, and he went out and found somebody that he knew, and he literally grabbed him by the arm, and he said, we're going to church. You're going to church with me. He dragged him in the door. I mean, he just went out. Now, that's not what the pastor meant, but I'm not sure how that all turned out. But anyway, you know, we can't force anybody to do that, but here's what I believe with all my heart. I believe that if we begin praying, and yes, fasting, and we're going to talk about if we begin praying and fasting for God to actually speak to the hearts of people. See, I believe with all my heart that God can draw the people who need to be here and who we need to be here. God can bring those people to us if we'll trust him with it. God can take care of the financial needs. God can take care of all of it. If we'll just trust him with it and be obedient. And I believe that the future life of our church really depends on us taking prayer more seriously. And then I was reminded of another piece of the puzzle. Another piece of the puzzle that we call this spiritual life, and it's this idea of fasting. You know what? In the Nazarene church that I grew up in, I can remember when I was a boy and a teenager, I heard it talked about all the time. We actually had a prayer and fasting group that would meet once a week. And they would pray and fast about the needs of the church. And they would pray and fast for lost people. And it was something we heard about all the time. Well, we don't hear much about it anymore. And that's why I've kind of referred to it as the neglected spiritual discipline. Now, what I'm encouraged by is I see a lot of my pastor friends on Facebook and stuff. You know, I can't count the number of churches and the number of pastors that I've seen posting things on Facebook about a prayer and fasting emphasis that they're doing. So I think this is really a move of God that some other churches and other pastors and other Christians are beginning to take part in again. I heard about it all the time. And so Jesus talks about fasting in Matthew chapter 16. And it's interesting to me that this idea of fasting is found in the same chapter. If you look back Matthew chapter 6. If you look back at the very beginning of the chapter, he's talking about giving to the needy. That's what Jesus starts talking about in this chapter, and Matthew records. So he starts talking about giving to the needy. He teaches about prayer. And then in that section, he starts talking about fasting, and then he goes on to talk about money and possessions and how we should manage those. So it's interesting to me that Jesus talks about fasting right in the middle of all these other very important spiritual aspects and spiritual disciplines that should be present in our lives. So here in Matthew chapter 6, in verses 16 through 18, here's what it says. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do. For they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. But I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Don't make it. Don't go around advertising that you're fasting. You know what? I heard a pastor friend of mine back in North Dakota tell somebody something one time, and it just really at first I was really shocked he said it. When someone from his church had come to him and they started talking to the pastor, and he said, Pastor, you know what? I did this and this, and started just listing off all the things that they had done, you know, and all the different ministry things that they had tried to be involved in and tried to help with. And when they were finished talking about themselves, Pastor Rich stood back and said, well, thank you. You've now received your reward. Because they just went and talked about it. You know what? Jesus said when you give, when he's talking about giving, he says, don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. So you know what true Christian service is about? Just doing these things for our own spiritual good and for the spiritual good of the church, and not really going around bragging about all the stuff that we do. He says, no one will notice that you're fasting except your Father, and your Father who sees you in private will reward you. So that's what I want us to think about, this idea of fasting this morning. What is it? What does it mean? Well, I think we probably know what it means, but I want to give you some ideas. And the actual definition means that we abstain from food. I mean, that we take a time. You know, Jesus, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but so many times in Scripture we find where people fasted completely. Well, you might not be able to fast completely, but you might be able to fast one meal a week, or you might be able to set aside even one day a month where you take time away from eating one meal, and that you just take that time to pray and fast. Or maybe we abstain from certain foods. You know what? Here's the other thing I see. Sometimes it can mean that we give up something else that is normal or important in our life. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's taking a fast from Twitter or Facebook or something like that. Maybe it's taking time away from something that we know is actually a vital part of our lives and an important part of our lives, and we take time away from that to focus more on God. So it doesn't have to be food. Maybe God speaks to you about something else. I just want us to understand that, I mean, I can say right now I'm going to fast one meal a week, or I'm going to fast one meal a day, but if that's not what God is asking me to give up or to fast from, then we need to be obedient to whatever he tells us. Might be, you know, our favorite television show or whatever. But we need to understand that it's an intentional decision and effort. So fasting means that we give up something that's important to us. And in most cases, it is food and something like that. But here's the next thing I want us to understand. Fasting is something we do on purpose for a purpose. We do it on purpose and for a purpose. Now, there are several examples of people who fasted in the Bible. And I want to take some time. I just want to share their stories with you. And because each of them went through the process of fasting for a different reason, for a different purpose or outcome. And here's the first one. There's a guy named Moses. I think you've probably heard of him. And in Exodus chapter 34, we find the story and the account of Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, Moses is on the top of the mountain because he's having another meeting with God now. And he's getting a reprint of the Ten Commandments. Because after the first meeting with God on the mountain, when he got the first copy of the Ten Commandments and he came down off the mountain, was when he found the children of Israel worshiping the golden idol. And he was so angry by what he saw going on there. He was so angry by the children of Israel and their idolatry, worshiping another god, that the Bible tells us he threw the stone tablets that God had engraved the Ten Commandments on the ground, and they just broke into pieces. So now he's back on top of the mountain again. And in Exodus chapter 34, verse 28, we see these words. It says, Moses remained there on the mountain with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. In all that time, he ate no bread and drank no water. And the Lord wrote the terms of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, on the stone tablets. So we see Moses on Mount Sinai, and he's fasting. He's fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. But why? What was his purpose? See, his purpose for fasting was to communicate with God, to talk with God more intimately, to be more focused on God. He was there to receive instructions from the Lord. He was there so that God could reveal to him and the people of Israel the conditions for living in covenant with him. He was there to find out how the people could live in relationship with God, how they needed to live in order to please God. That was his purpose. So one reason for fasting is so that we can enhance our communication with God and take it to a deeper level without the distractions of other things that are going on that usually take up our time and might be a higher priority for us. Then there's David. I'm pretty sure we've heard of him too. His story is found in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now what's going on in 2 Samuel chapter 12? The prophet Nathan has just come to David. Nathan has confronted David with his sin of adultery with Bathsheba. And it you know what? I mean, the adultery was bad enough. And it would have been bad enough if it had just stopped there. But we all know the story and we know it didn't stop there. We know that David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and because of his adulterous relationship with her, she became pregnant. Now, we know she was married to a man named Uriah, who was one of the soldiers in David's army. And the army was out in battle at the time. So David arranged for Uriah to come home, spend a few days, hoping to kind of cover up the sin that he had committed. But Uriah wouldn't have anything to do with it. Instead of going home and spending time with his wife, he slept outside the king's door. So that plan didn't work. So David then wrote a note and sealed it and handed it to David and said, I want you to take this back to your commanding officer. Tell him it's from the king. And what that note said was that Uriah was supposed to be placed on the front line where the battle was the hottest, and then all the other troops were going to be withdrawn so that it was certain that Uriah was killed in battle. David has just murdered one of his own soldiers to cover up his sin of adultery. So what's going on here is the prophet Nathan has come to David, and David has confessed his sin. But then Nathan tells David, he said, well, it's good that you've confessed, but the child who's born as a result of your adulterous relationship will die. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning with verse 15, here's what it says. After Nathan returned to his home, the Lord sent a deadly illness to the child of David and Uriah's wife. David begged God to spare the child. He went without food and lay all night on the bare ground. The elders of his household pleaded with him to get up and eat with them, but he refused. Then on the seventh day, the child died. David's advisors were afraid to tell him. He wouldn't listen to reason when the child was ill. They said, what drastic thing will he do when he finds out that the child is dead? And when David saw them whispering, he realized what had happened. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied, he is dead. Then David got up from the ground, washed himself, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord. After that, he returned to his palace and was served food and ate. His advisors were amazed. "We don't understand you," they told him. "While the child was still living, you wept and refused to eat. But now that the child is dead, you've stopped your mourning and you are eating again." David replied, "I fasted and wept while the child was alive. For I said, perhaps the Lord will be gracious to me and let the child live. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me." David fell down on the bare ground and he laid there for 7 days, fasting and praying and begging God to spare the child's life. What was the purpose of his fasting? His fasting was to try to convince God. He was trying to convince God to save the child. Well, you might think, that's not a really good example, Pastor, to use about fasting because it didn't work. The child died anyway. But can I share with you an idea? All right, listen. Let me just share an idea with you. I can't prove it from Scripture, so might be right, might be wrong. But here's the thought that came to my mind and in my heart when I was writing the sermon. Look at David's reaction. After he found out the child had died, what did he do? He got up. He got cleaned up. And he went to church and worshiped God. He went to church and worshiped God. Now, I don't know this for sure. I can't prove it, but I ask myself this question. Would David have responded the same way if he had not spent that 7 days praying and fasting and being in the presence of God? I don't know. But there's something about this. This idea just came to my mind and my heart that even if we don't get the results that we're looking for, fasting can change our reactions and responses. Even if, maybe especially if we don't get that desired outcome. Fasting might not always change the circumstances, but it can certainly change us and change our hearts and change our spirits. There's another guy named Jehoshaphat. He's the king of Judah. I know that's a big name. So if you can't say the name, just call him King Josh or something. But his story is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And what's going on here is the king has just gotten word from one of his messengers that this vast army that's made up of a combination of all the nations around Judah and Israel at the time, they've all decided they're going to get together and join forces and they're going to come and take over Judah. And the king has just been told this. And the Bible tells us that he was terrified by this news and he begged the Lord for guidance. And it also says that he ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. He begged the Lord for guidance, and the other thing that he did right off the bat was told all the people around to start fasting. Start fasting so that God will take action. And in verse 12, we see this prayer. "Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We don't know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." How many times have you just sat back and looked at the situation and said, "I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." But the king said that. He said, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We're looking to you for help." What's going on here? The purpose of their fasting was to confess their dependence on God. And God answered them with a promise. He told them they would be victorious over this huge army. He told them they wouldn't even have to fight. All they had to do was go out and take their positions and stand and watch for the victory that God would give them. Sometimes we need to fast in order to declare our dependence on God, because we're just at our wits' end. We don't have any ideas. We don't have any answers. We don't have any solutions to the problem. And we have to just come and say, God, it's in your hands, because I don't know what to do. Then there's the story of Nineveh, the story of Jonah. A city that was so wicked that God had decided he was going to destroy the whole town if they didn't repent. So he comes to Jonah, the prophet, the evangelist, so to speak, says, I want you to go and preach to Nineveh and warn them about the destruction I'm going to bring on them if they don't repent. Well, we know just how Jonah obeyed God, right? He went down, bought a ticket for a boat that was going exactly the opposite direction and got as far away from Nineveh as he could until the storm came up. He got thrown overboard and got swallowed up by the big fish. And after 3 days of praying in the belly of that big fish, he was spit out on the shore. And what did God do? I still want you to go to Nineveh. The calling hasn't changed. You need to go to Nineveh and you need to preach. Because if you don't, and they don't repent, all those people are going to die. Because I'm going to destroy them all. Jonah finally got there, and he starts walking through the town, preaching and telling the people, warning the people about the coming destruction. And here's what it says. The people believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. And then the king heard about what was going on, so he joined in with the other people. So what was the purpose of their fasting? It was repentance. Repentance. They heard the word of the Lord. They believed the prophecy of the destruction of their city, and it caused them to fast as a demonstration of their true repentance and godly sorrow. So those are all Old Testament examples. And I know we live in a day and an age where now where even pastors say, well, that's the Old Testament, doesn't count. Well, it does count, but let's look at the New Testament. How do we know fasting is important for us? How do we know it's important for us today? Well, because Jesus did it. That old slogan, what would Jesus do? Jesus fasted. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is in the wilderness. And it says he's been led to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. And it says Jesus ate nothing during all that time. He was fasting for spiritual strength during a time of physical weakness. And while Jesus was fasting, Satan came to him and he was tempting him. 3 different times, in 3 different ways, Satan tempted Jesus to prove who he was, to take matters into his own hands. But Jesus wasn't going to go along. 3 times, 3 different ways, Satan tempted him, and 3 different times, Jesus replied to him with Scripture. See, fasting for a specific purpose brings us closer to God and results in spiritual strength. In verses 13 and 14, it says, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. Then Jesus returned to Galilee. Listen to this. Filled with the Holy Spirit's power. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The Scripture tells us very plainly that Jesus was hungry after that 40 days and 40 nights. Satan came to him and tempted him. But even in a time of physical weakness, he had become spiritually stronger because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's how we know. We know it's important for us because Jesus did it. He's our example. What's the value of fasting? What are the results? What happens when we fast? The first thing is this. It turns our attention from our desires to our needs. It turns my attention from my desires to my needs. From what I want to what I really need. We might desire physical gratification or fulfillment, but fasting helps us focus on our need for spiritual growth and development. It helps us focus on that need for a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. It helps us recognize our priorities. My priorities might be all out of whack, and quite frankly, some of them probably are. We probably all have priorities that don't quite match up with what God's perfect will is for our lives. But fasting helps us determine, helps us recognize what our priorities actually are and helps us determine what they should be. And then here's the last thing that I see as a value or a result of fasting, and I want you to listen closely because you might not agree with the actual statement, but I'll explain it. Fasting carries added power or effectiveness that prayer alone sometimes lacks. You say, well, are you saying prayer isn't powerful? No, I'm not saying prayer is not powerful. But there are some situations where fasting is needed in addition to prayer for us to experience the fullness of God's power. You say, can you prove that? Yeah, I can. Matthew chapter 17. Now, before I get to that, here's what's going on. Jesus and Peter and James and John have just come off of the Mount of Transfiguration, and they've made their way back down the mountain to the valley below. And when they get to the town at the valley, down at the bottom of the mountain, they walk immediately into a disagreement and some kind of discussion and argument. And what's, you know, Jesus said, what's all the arguing about? What's going on? So there's a guy in the crowd who says, I brought my son who is demon possessed. I brought my son to your disciples to have them cast out the demon, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Jesus comes on the scene. He learns of the problem. He calls them an unbelieving generation. And he tells his disciples that the reason they failed to cast out the demon was due to their lack of faith. But then he goes on to say something else, and it's found in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. And if you have your Bible, I want you to look at that right now. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. If that verse does not show up in your actual Bible text in the chapter, I want you to raise your hand. Because not all translations have that verse in it. A lot of translations go from verse 20 to verse 22. But if you look, if your Bible has footnotes, you'll probably find at the bottom of the page some translations or some manuscripts include this. Here's what it says, and I'm reading from the New King James Version because that's where it's found. He tells them that the reason they couldn't cast out the demon was because of their lack of faith. But then he goes on to say this, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Sometimes fasting carries an added power or dimension of effectiveness that prayer alone does not have. Now I hope you see what I mean. When I say that, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not trying to be irreverent. I'm just telling you what the scripture says in some translation. Maybe sometimes when we have prayed and we've prayed every way we know how to pray and nothing's happening, we just don't see the hand of God moving. Maybe we need to take time and invest some time in fasting along with our prayer. And maybe, I can't promise it'll happen every time, but maybe it'll make a difference. So here's the last question. Here's the last thing I want us to think about and kind of rounding this thing up. Should fasting be a part of our spiritual walk? Should it be a part of my actual Christian life? And I think the main text for this morning answers that question. Let's look at it again. Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say if. It's almost as if he just expects us to do it, almost like it's a given part of our spiritual life. When you fast, this is how I want you to do it. Just like right before that, he says, when you pray, this is how I want you to do it. When you give to the needy, this is how I want you to do it. Here's how I want you to manage your possessions and your finances. Here's how you can honor me in that. When you fast, he doesn't give an option, really. So why all the talk about fasting? Why in the world would I preach an entire sermon about something like this? Well, it's a good question. And here's the only answer I can give you. because I feel like it's something that God wants us to do. So here's what I'm asking you. I'm asking the church. I'm asking us to take part in a prayer and fasting emphasis during the month of February. Why February? Because February is the last month of this church fiscal year. March 1st starts our new year. So I'm asking us to spend the month of February taking some time to emphasize prayer and fasting, to pray that we close this year out in a strong way and that we start the new church fiscal year in an even stronger way. You know what, we used to do calendars for this and have people sign up. But you know what? We're just supposed to fast. Nobody's supposed to know what we're doing, right? So I'm not going to have you fill out a form. And here's the thing, I don't want you to do it out of obligation. I don't want you to do it just because the pastor said he wants you to do it. If you do this, I want it to be a commitment because the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and said, I want you to do this. See, our church needs a fresh anointing. Our church needs a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit. We need revival. We need renewal. I think we need to see a real and powerful moving of the Holy Spirit. We need new life. So I'm asking us to pray and fast for those things. I'm asking us to pray and fast so that new people will be drawn to our church. I'm asking us to pray and fast for people who need to be saved, to be sanctified, and to be filled with the Spirit. I'm asking us to pray and fast for opportunities to help and encourage people in our community, to pray and fast for people's lives to actually be changed and transformed. Why all this talk about fasting? Well, I want to ask you. I want you to answer that question maybe for yourself by listening to some of these questions and see how they apply to you. What would you like to see happen in your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ this year? When you can answer that question, or even before that, pray and fast about it. Maybe what you want right now isn't what God wants you to have. Maybe through prayer and fasting, God will show you what you need in your own personal walk. What would you like to see accomplished in our church this year? I'm asking you to pray and fast about that. And here's my last question. What are you willing to do? How are you willing to be used by God to see those things accomplished? How many of us are willing to truly ask God, what is my role? What is your desire? What is your will for me? What is the job you would have me to do to make our church the church you want us to be? I can't tell you what that is. Only God can do that. So I'm asking us to pray and fast about it. See, here's what I believe. I believe if we'll commit ourselves to prayer and fasting through the month of February, we will see the hand of God to begin to move in ways that we have not seen before. I believe if we're faithful to what he asks us to do, God's going to be faithful to us. I don't pretend to know what it's going to look like. I don't pretend to know how God's going to choose to move, but that's okay. Because I don't want to even appear like I'm trying to dictate to God what I want done or what I want him to do or how I want him to do it. And here's the other thing. Don't be afraid to fast and pray for big things. Is there anything in this world, is there anything that you can think of that God cannot do? So why do we try to limit him so much in our prayers and our own Christian walk? Don't be afraid to fast and pray for big things. Let's not limit God, because the Bible tells us nothing is impossible for him. I just want us to be open to seeing what God wants to do, how he wants to accomplish it, and what part you and I have to play in it. So I felt led to preach this sermon today just to kind of give us a couple weeks to gear up. Maybe start praying and fasting even now. You don't have to wait till February. My goodness. If God's speaking to you now about it, start now. But I'm asking for the sake of our church, for the sake of our own spiritual lives. Let's do whatever we have to do to draw closer to him and know what he wants us to do. And I think prayer and fasting will help us get there.